This is Dr. Jonathan Shaw. I want to thank you for tuning in to Crown Ministries Podcast today. We hope that this message transforms you and encourages you to pursue God's presence in a greater way. Enjoy the message.
I was blessed teaching that lesson last Tuesday. It felt good to teach it. Amen. And we're going to go into it again this Tuesday. And I want to minister along that line of submission. I want to minister that this morning because there's so much meat when you start dealing with the topic of submission. And unfortunately, it hasn't been properly taught in the church because people use it manipulatively and to dominate over people and to lord over people. That's not what God ordained at all. He said, don't lord over his people. But we have to teach it from a biblical perspective and understand what God requires when it comes to submission. And so I want to teach on that level and that theme today. Is that all right? Amen. I think y'all going to be blessed by it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, and it reads on this wise. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Hallelujah. I said, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Come on, somebody. They do it to obtain a crown that's going to tarnish. But we do it for an incorruptible crown. Verse 26, I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that simply beats the air, not shadow boxing, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Verse 27 is our text of emphasis, but I keep under my body. I keep under my body. Somebody say, I do it. I do it. I keep under my body and bring it, my body, into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preached to others and sung to others and encouraged others and prophesied to others and pastored others and spoke in tongues with others and danced around the church to others, I don't want to be a castaway. And the word of our Lord is blessed. Let it remain separate and sanctified in our hearts. I want to talk to you this morning quickly from the subject simply entitled, Fighting the Flesh. Fighting the Flesh. Oh, I'm about to get victory up in through here. I said, fighting the flesh. Somebody getting nervous and scared already, Sister Tanya. Y'all better start praying. Come on, somebody say, fighting the flesh. Hands on yourself and say, I'm going to get free today. Come on, prophesy, say, I'm going to get delivered today. Holler at my subject and say, I'm going to fight this flesh. I'm going to fight this flesh. Help me to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Ready, anticipating what you're about to do in this. It is in the name of Jesus. I declare us to be free, and I prophesy that we are anointed to walk in it. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can have your seats, but while you're sitting, just say fighting the flesh. Fighting the flesh. Fighting the flesh. Fighting the flesh. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, in this text of Corinthians, Paul, the apostle, is writing to the church at Corinth. I want to give you a little bit of history, y'all don't mind. He's writing to the church at Corinth, and as he's writing to the church, he's writing them because he, at this particular portion of the letter of Corinthians, Paul is a little ticked off. He's mad. And if you read the whole chapter of chapter 9, he's fussing. Even Apostle Paul fussed. He's fussing at them. And the reason why he's fussing at them is because some of the members of the church at Corinth is complaining because people are sending gifts to Paul and taking care of him and accommodating him as he's on his various missionary journeys. I mean, they're literally, if you put it in modern day terms, they are paying for his flight, putting him in first class. They are renting Jeeps and SUVs and Suburbans to make sure he has accommodations with his ride. They're putting him in 5-star hotel accommodations on the concierge floor. They're booking restaurants, making sure he has something to eat. That's modern day terms, you understand? And they're paying all of this money to accommodate him because he is a messenger of God. Here's the challenge. The church at Corinth is now having problems that other people are taking care of Paul, and many other preachers are demanding these accommodations. And Corinth has problems with it, and they have issues with it. And Paul is somewhat defending his apostleship because he's saying, if I am an apostle, I am apostle to y'all. He's saying, the fruit of my apostleship is your transformation. He said, I don't have to validate or vindicate my ministry before anybody. I don't have to prove myself to anyone. Watch this. He's also saying that I don't have to prove that I deserve these accoutrements. He says, you should want to give them to me because of how I minister to you. Down further in the letter, if you read the whole chapter, he's saying, if I minister to you spiritual things, then certainly you should minister me natural and carnal things. He says, I don't even demand them. If you do it, that's good. But if you don't, I'm fine. He said, I've learned how to be content. I've learned how to be good. He said, I don't make these demands. He said, but you should want to do nice things for the man of God. You should want to do them because I serve and minister in the temple. He says, he began to pull the law of Moses to vindicate this case. And he says, even Moses said, don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. He said, Moses even told us that if you milk the sheep, you should drink the milk that the sheep have given. He's telling them, if you teach of the word, you should eat of the word. He's vindicating that he deserves everything they give him, but he's also saying, I've never demanded what you gave me. God, I'm preaching good already. And this sounds like this letter, this old ancient letter, sounds like it could be written here in 2020. Because the same stuff is still going on. There's many preachers who's making demands for accommodations and accoutrements, and they're making demands of honorariums, and I need to eat this, and if you're going to feed me, I need to have rice, and all my rice grains need to be separated, and I know crazy stuff, right? If you're going to give me, I want some M&Ms after service, but only green M&Ms, so separate all the M&Ms so I can only have this crazy dumb stuff, y'all. They asking for all of these accommodations, and if you don't give them their accommodations, they're not going to minister and give me half of my honorarium before I show up, and I want the other half when I arrive before I preach, and I mean all of this stuff they're asking for. It has become miserable, and we have shifted and turned ministry into industry, and we got more celebrities than we got anointed gifts in the pulpit, and that's why we have no power and no transformation and no demonstration of the Spirit. It's because people are now perverting and prostituting the anointing, filthy bellies. I wish I could preach in this quarantine church, and using it for their own gain instead of seeking for the benefit and the edification of God's people. This is not for me. This is for you. Come on here. And God will take care of me. If you don't give me a dime, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad that he is my Jehovah Jireh, and he supplies all my need according to his riches. How rich is God in glory? God will take care of me. And I'm glad, Crown Ministries, you ought to shout about this. I'm glad that I have a kind of church that takes care of their pastor. I ain't got to preach nowhere. Hallelujah. I don't have to come to your church. Hallelujah. I don't have to fly and take trains and drive. I don't have to do it because Crown Ministries take good care of their leaders. Thank you, Jesus. We have a church that a leader can lay before God and deliver the word of God. Expressed toward you. And so Paul is saying, I don't demand it from you, but you shouldn't get mad if you have to give it. It's on the other side of the perversion of preachers that we also have people who don't know how to honor gifts of God. Oh, it got quiet behind the mask. I said, you got people who get upset because they don't like to honor the gifts of God. Why don't he get a job? Why don't he go do what everybody else is doing? Well, you know how tired you are after your 9 to 5. Imagine preach, prophesy, teach, lay hands, deliver, deal with your demons. And then you come back with them same demons next week because you didn't do what I told you last week. Come on here. And they got to do it all. And then got to argue with you and fight with you just so you can get a breakthrough and you can get deliverance. Can you imagine working night on all of that and taking care of your house and your children and still ministering? 1 hour of preaching is equivalent to 8 hours. Hours hard labor. Message is equivalent to construction work and building and taking tearing down. Come on here. When you understand real men and real women of God who labor in the things of God, you don't mind sowing into the leader, contributing to their livelihood. Come on, y'all. I'm nervous because some folks ain't clapping. Amen. Because the benefits, but you don't enter the prophecy you want to receive. I'm nervous about some of these individuals that come and want to eat up the prophecy, but don't want to sow no seed, don't want to contribute, don't want the man of God to be comfortable. Come on, I don't know about y'all, but the way my religion is set up, I don't need my man of God riding on a bicycle. Talk about that with my humble man of God. I don't need my man of God. Y'all looking at me strange. I don't know about you, your pastor. I don't want my pastor with holes in his shoes and say, he's so humble. Look at him. He's so humble. I don't need my pastor in a dirty black suit that he's been wearing for 3 weeks straight. Talking about he's so anointed and so powerful. No, 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 no. I need my leader living in luxury. I need him to sleep right, because when he dreams, I want him to dream a word that's going to shake my life for the rest of my life. I believe my leader has my destiny locked up in his belly, and I don't need him to sleep in a hotel motel with holes next doors. I need him to sleep where executives sleep. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I need him to be comfortable, not fighting demons on the train. I need him in his own car. Come on here. So he can be in silent and meditation when he comes to deliver me the word of God. I don't need my leader struggling. I need them at peace, because I need them to hear from God on my behalf. Don't talk like you talking the way you talking. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. I need my leader blessed. I need him blessed. I need my leader to be the example of how you can live holy and still be blessed. I need my leader to be the wealth example that can manage wealth and still be a servant of the Lord. I need my leader to dress in tailor-made suits and still wallow over the floor and speak in tongues. I wouldn't care if they bottom of their shoes is red, black, purple, or green, but I need them to understand how beautiful are the feet. The gospel. I need his feet pretty. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I said, I need pretty feet on my preacher. So I don't mind sowing into that accommodation. I don't mind contributing to that accommodation. Hallelujah. Every one of my leaders, my mentor and my leader, get my tithe. They get my offering. Hallelujah. I go out to preach. I make money in business. I write my leaders checks all the time. They love to see my envelope coming across the mailbox, because I sow into them. You know, y'all know why I'm blessed? Because I tithe, I give offering, and I bless my leader. That's why I'm so blessed. That's why God always takes care of me. That's why I don't care how low I get in debt and how low I get in finances, God makes up for the rest, because I'm always sowing into my leader. Let me get out of that. Paul is vindicating this, and he's arguing this. And then when he gets down to the bottom of this particular chapter, he begins to start talking about how you have to just continue to persevere, and you have to continue to endure. And he's telling them, he's asking them a question here in this latter part. He says, how many of you have gone to the theater, the amphitheaters, and you have seen these athletes run races? You've seen that? He said, have you seen that? He said, but they're running a race for a crown that's going to tarnish. In the Bible day, when they used to compete, they used to receive these wreath type crowns. It wasn't nothing but a bunch of leaves, but it was honorable to wear it. It was honorable to wear this type of crown. He says that crown, that leaf gonna wither, it's gonna dry up, it's gonna die. He said, but you gotta keep running your race, because the crown we're going after is an incorruptible crown. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I don't know about anybody else. You got to get to a place in your walk with God that you determine, I'm just going to run my race. Is there anybody that made up in their mind, I'm just going to run my race? Now, as y'all could tell and look at me physically, I ain't run too much in high school, junior high school. I ain't do too much racing and running. But I always went to the practice for those who were. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I used to hear the coach telling them, when you run, whatever you do, don't look to the side to your opponent, because it slows down your pace. I just preached and somebody missed it. I said, he told them, don't look to the side of your opponent, because it slows down your race. And some of y'all have slowed down with God because you're comparing your speed with who's running beside you. God, you just got to mark time, look forward, and set your face like a flint and run your race. I can't compare my race to yours. I can't compare my speed to yours. You may go faster, you may go slower, but come on here, I just have to run my race. Lay hands on yourself and say, I gotta run my race. He says, I gotta run the race, and I want you to keep on running. And then he says, look at these athletes. He's comparing this whole text to athletes. He says, even those who fight, he says, I don't just beat the air. I don't just shadow box. Hallelujah. Y'all saw that fight with Tyson? Lord Jesus, help us. He said, I don't just shadow box. I'm not just beating the air. I'm not just swinging, Lord, not hitting anything. He says, I want to be a marksman in the spirit. I want to, when I swing, I hit something. I wonder if there's anybody in this room or on live that you ready to hit something. Or somebody be ready to hit something. You're tired of swinging and missing. You're tired of swinging and not hitting your mark. You're tired of praying and not getting what you're praying for. You're tired of anticipating and expecting and not reaching your goal. Is there anybody that's ready to succeed? Is anybody ready to hit the mark? He says here, I want to be a marksman, not just beating the air. I'm tired of beating the air. He said, in order for me to run my race and become a marksman, even in boxing and fighting, he said, what I've got to do is I've got to discipline my body. Okay, that's where we are. That's what he's saying. He says, I got to bring my body into subjection. Harry Jonathan Shaw. He says, I've got to discipline myself so that I am fit for the race and the boxing match. And that's when the Holy Ghost started speaking loud to me. He said, son, the problem is they're not fit for the race. They're not fit for the match and the fight that the devil has brought to the ring, because they are undisciplined. Y'all need to be saying behind that mask, I'm coming. Huh? He said, they are undisciplined. There's no discipline. There's tongues, but there's no discipline. There's dancing, but there's no discipline. There's church attendance, but there is no discipline. God help us. There is singing and preaching and prophesying. There's packed churches and conferences and concerts, but there is a lack of discipline in the body. He said, and if there's no discipline, it's all going to unravel. Can I take 10 more minutes, y'all? Y'all don't mind a couple more minutes? Watch this. I'm going to take you through a process. And so I had to understand, and I said, God, you got to help me. You got to help me. He said, they got to learn. Y'all all got to learn to fight your flesh, because your flesh is undisciplined. And it is the hardest thing to train. I wish I can talk. I'm on consecration. But this flesh, I said, this old dirty thing called flesh, you can come on nicey up all you want to, but this generation has done a disservice to deliverance. Let me tell you why. Because this generation is self-worshippers. This generation loves and idolizes themselves, and we done read self-help books. We want self-help prophecies. We want self-help sermons. Come on here. We want to magnify ourselves and say, you just got to do you, be you, YOLO, you only live once. Come on, now we got a new doctrine out called live in your truth, which came straight from the pits of hell. This generation has preached a message into the ears of even believers that has been adapted by the church, that you all right and you okay and God loves you anyhow. And we have removed conviction, correction, and deliverance. That the moment we convict you and correct you, you call it abuse and you go find somebody else's church, because you don't understand the rudiments of what it takes to be disciplined, because the root of the word discipline is disciple, and you can't be a disciple until you've been disciplined. God, I'm preaching harder than y'all saying amen, but I feel good right through here. Somebody shout discipline. I said, God, you got to help me, because I got to make it plain and clear. You got to make it plain and clear, God, to the people. I want them to understand it. I want them to be edified. He said, okay, I'm going to make it plain and clear to you. And I was looking. Yesterday was me and Pastor Sabrina's 22nd wedding anniversary. I love you, baby. Watch this. And Deacon Rory, he didn't say nothing to me because I told him to make it plain and clear. All he gave me was the text and the revelation, but I needed more meat on it so I could really understand and explain it to the people of God. And he ain't say nothing to me. That's how God do me. He said nothing to me. Absolutely nothing. And I went through my anniversary yesterday. I said, okay, we having fun. We smooching. Bless you. But I need to finish this word for tomorrow. Hallelujah. I need to get this word. And the Lord, he woke me up this morning. Hallelujah. 6 a.m. We was on prayer. Y'all was on prayer this morning. My God, that prophet's Mowbray prayed like Jesus was coming back at 3 o'clock today. Huh? She prayed through. And it was after prayer. Holy Ghost started talking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, God, you are on time, God. May not come when you want him, but he's always on time. He's on time, God. And so I started preparing my clothes to get ready, Sister Tanya. I started preparing my clothes to get ready to go to church. I said, okay, good. I'm going to wear my black and white frock. I'm going to wear my black pants, my little black patent leather shoes. And we're going to be ready. We're going to dress to go to church. Hallelujah. I put my pants on. I put my frock on. And we was ready. We got in the car. Soon as I got in the car, hallelujah, all this corona weight started talking back. Y'all pray for me. I got in the car, slipped one leg in, and y'all, I heard titch. Oh Jesus. I said, what was that? My whole pants split from the rooter to the tutor. All the corona weight Elder Mowbray I put on. I mean, all the turkeys and the ham hocks I cooked and the chopped barbecue and the macaroni and cheese, all them pineapple cakes and chocolate cakes I cooked, it responded to me this morning. My whole pants split. I mean, it split real bad. I said, Jesus, help. You got to deliver. You got to set me free, because the preacher can't go to church and just be all out like this. I said, God, I know you're trying to reveal, but don't reveal everything. We're not going to tap into this level of transparency. I don't want to be this transparent. Not today. And so y'all laughing at me behind your mask. I see you. I discern your spirit. But I said, okay. I said, Pastor, we got to do something, because my pants is split. It's bad. She said, how bad is it? Just a little hole? I said, no. I feel a breeze. I feel it ain't God. I feel a wind coming through. She said, what you gonna do? Do we need to go back home? I said, no. I said, go to the church. I said, I got another pair of pants at the church. And I just put on another pair of pants. Thank God for a little small wardrobe downstairs in my office. I found me another pair. Y'all, praise God for another pair. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But that's why I say that, because that's when the Holy Ghost spoke to me. I know. Sometimes he got to expose you to speak to you. And the reason why you can't hear from God is because you're unwilling to be exposed by God. And the reason why some folks can't get a word from the Lord is because you don't want to be transparent enough. You're unwilling to let God see your private parts. And so he cannot tell you about your secret parts. Until you let him see your private, he can't tell you about your secrets. And he started talking to me. And he started speaking to me. And Pastor Moore, before I put those pants on, I saw, when I ironed them, I saw a thread. I saw it. A thread coming loose. Hitabashaya. Right at the seam. I saw it, but I put them on anyway. I ignored the warning signs. He was trying to tell me something was loose. He was trying to tell me a gate was open. He was trying to tell me he didn't lock something up. And if you're not careful, at the moment of movement, you're going to be exposed. And that's what happens in the spirit, Pastor Moore. The moment we try to move in God, the devil takes the string that was exposing us and he pulls at it, and the seam comes unloose. Can I preach like a guest preacher in my own church? He said, what I want you to tell them is that the seam has come loose. I said, what? What? I had to look up the word seam. And the word seam, y'all know what a seam is in wardrobe and fashion? It is a line along which two pieces of fabric are sewn together in a garment or another article. If you don't have a seam, you don't have a garment. I say it again. If you don't have a seam, Elder Mowbray, you sew, it's just fabric. It's not till you put a seam on it that makes it a garment. Hallelujah. And some of y'all got fabric, but you ain't got on garments. And he said, I'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You got fabric on you, but it ain't no garment. Can I say this and I get in trouble? But I love this job because I ain't scared of none of you. There's some bishops that got on robes. It ain't nothing but fabric. Ain't no seams in it. There are preachers that got on garments, but it's just a bunch of fabric. It ain't a real garment because there's no seam. Because the Holy Ghost said the seams have come unloosed. And I said, Lord, what is the seam? What is the seam? And he gave me the seam, the word seam, but he gave it to me an acronym. Can I preach like I'm feeling it? He said, S-E-A-M. S-E-A-M. If you could sew the seam, then you can hold it together. I said, what's the seam? He said, the S in seam, is you've got to be disciplined in your sexuality. Well, I'm gonna walk heavy because I wasn't scared when I walked in here. He said, your flesh is undisciplined when it comes to your sex drive. Don't look at me like that behind your mask, huh? He told me to tell you, when you can control your desires, then you can control your destiny. And many of your destinies are out of control because your sexual desires are out of control. Hallelujah to God. I know y'all don't want to talk like this, and I promise I won't be vulgar and I won't be disrespectful, but the truth of the matter is you're going to have to learn how to give your body and your sexuality to God. Y'all ain't said nothing yet. I said you're going to have to give your body and your sexuality to God, because the truth of the matter is this flesh is screaming and hollering, and y'all want to have sex and a whole lot of it. Y'all looking at me strange, but I'm coming for you. The married folks ain't having sex, and the single folks having all the sex. And it's a problem in the house of God because our flesh is out of control, and our flesh, come on here, has not been subject to the things of God. Some of y'all have been asking God to deliver you from your sexuality, but God says you ain't gave me your sexuality yet. When you can give me your private parts, when you come on here, well, let me circumcise you and then let me cut your flesh. My shaking, he said, then you will have breakthrough and deliverance. I said, God, what you talking about?
about, he said, remember Abraham. He said, I made a covenant with Abraham. He said, I would bless all of his children and his children's children. He said, I would bless all of his heirs. He said, but I told Abraham that he got to circumcise his children. He said, but Abraham was the first one. He was the one I was talking to. He said, so Abraham had, oh God, to circumcise himself. Now, it's something for another person to circumcise someone else. They'll say, ouch. But how in the world? They ain't had no scissors back then, Pastor Moore. He had to take two strong, stiff rocks and put his privates between a rock and smash it together until his foreskin was removed. See, y'all don't know deliverance till you know pain. Where is the pain, Dr. Shaw? The pain is telling your flesh no when it's screaming and hollering yes. I could email you, I could DM you in your inbox, I could respond to your text message. Come on here. I could sleep with you and nobody know about it. I could sleep with you and get away with it. But there's a conviction in my heart that won't let my flesh wake up and won't let my flesh do what it wants to do until my sexuality is submitted to God. I cannot control the reins of my destiny. You can't be around here sleeping with Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, and Susie and expect God to use you purely. Come on here. Who are you intimate with? Whoever climbs in your bed also climbs in your future. You can shake a STD, but you cannot shake their spirit that came and climbed up in your spirit. Hallelujah. And just in case y'all wanted to know, I promise I won't be vulgar. But oral sex is sex. Come on here. Hallelujah to God. I ain't scared of y'all. But you better about start talking about it so you can get delivered from it, because some of y'all have done everything your flesh wanted to do and you did it all in the name of the Lord and then turn around and say, but God understands. The seam of your sexuality is undisciplined. Here's what the Lord showed me. He said, tell them their flesh needs to come under subjection. Real salvation and deliverance is when you can say no, when you could say yes and get away with it. Well, nobody know. Nobody know where I'm doing. Nobody know where I'm at. And you know, to do that, you got to tell one lie. And you know, you got to tell another lie to cover that last lie. Oh, come on. The old saints used to tell us, if you lie, you steal. And if you steal, you're killed. Y'all don't like that good preaching. But the truth of the matter is, you need to submit your sexuality to God and say, God, as bad as I want it, as bad as I need it, come on here, I'm going to submit it to you. Because fornication and adultery is you. Look at y'all looking at me. I was shocked at God when he told me to put that on the consecration agenda. I said, God, you got to tell saints not to fornicate and commit adultery. He said, yeah, you better tell these babies because they are out here having sex as much as they want to. Come on here. And if they can't find nobody to have sex with, they have sex with themselves. They so much self-worship that they'll have sex with themselves. Y'all looking at me strange. Masturbation. Is self-worship. That's why you ought not to do it, because it says you honor yourself and please yourself, and you don't have to wait for God to please you or send somebody to please you. You'll just go ahead and be your own God and please yourself. I'm coming for you because I scared it all. But thank God when we can get deliverance in our flesh. Praise be unto God that we can be set free even in our flesh. And I'm not just preaching to young folks. Don't look at me like that. These old folks are doing the horizontal hokey pokey too. Come on, can I tell you the truth? There's facts. I got proven facts. The health department says that even the senior citizen centers have more cases of HIV and STDs than anywhere else, because them seniors are in there getting it down. Y'all ain't saying nothing. When the orderlies go to bed, mama and grandpa and papa is getting it in. Y'all looking at me straight. There's old folks are screwing too. That's fact. But you gotta submit your sexuality. I'm almost through. To God. What's the S in seam? Split your pants. The E in seam. He said, you must be disciplined in your emotions. Oh God, your emotions are undisciplined. He says, until you can control how you feel. He said, you'll never see the victory. And you'll never be truly used by me purely because your emotions are out of whack. I wish I would tell the truth on a Sunday. How many of you in your emotions, you have gone haywire? I mean, you've been feeling some stuff you shouldn't be feeling, thinking some stuff you shouldn't be thinking. Come on here. And your emotions have messed up. I went one day during my sabbatical. Y'all pray for me. During my sabbatical, Pastor and I, we was flying, catching flights and not feelings. And we was going somewhere. And in the airport, I saw a book in the library called Emotional Intelligence 2.0. Buy the book, it'll bless you. And I took the book up and I read it. And when I read the book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0, it started describing to us how our emotions work. Our emotions work with feelings. It's all natural, y'all. Somebody say natural. Even sexuality, all natural. Emotions, very natural. It happens. And so what happens is all your feelings coming through your body, whether by touch, by seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, all of your emotions and feelings, something you heard, somebody did, it comes into your body. Watch this. It hits your spine, walks up your spine, and it starts talking to your brain, that emotion. When the emotion starts talking to your brain, it hits the back of your brain first. The part of the brain that describes emotions is in the back of the head. It's called the limbic system, L-I-M-B-R-I-C, the limbic system. Everybody touch the back of your head right here, the back of your head. It hits there first. And the feeling and the sense has to travel to your logical system. But before it gets to your logical system, it got to touch your emotional system in the back. So it runs from the spine, hits the back of your head, and then it travels to the front of your brain, which is where your logic relies. Says it's your frontal lobe. So all logic and reason is right here. Everybody touch the front of your head. That's where logic and reason. That's why you ought not let everybody lay hands on you. Because when they lay hands on your head, they're laying hands on your logic and your reason. Come on here. Hallelujah. And so logic and reason lives at the front, but emotions live in the back. And so emotions, feeling, hit the limbic system before it hits the logical system. So it has to go through emotions before it can become logical. It goes through emotions before it can become logical. And what the Lord told me was, many of you have gotten stuck in your emotions and you ain't shift to logic. You don't know how to think because you're stuck in the back of your head. Hallelujah. And your emotions and your feelings have gotten the best of you. This is what he told me to tell you. I wrote it down and I'm going to read it and maybe five folks will be blessed by it. He said, emotionalism leaves you untrustworthy for power. Ooh, gotta read it again. He said, emotionalism leaves you untrustworthy for power. Never trust somebody who's emotional with authority because they're too emotional to handle power. When you move according to emotions, you move according to your feelings. But you're gonna have to learn how to subject your feelings and your emotions to the destiny and the call of God over your life. Y'all pray for me, because a lot of folks look at me and they say, Dr. Shaw, what's wrong with you? Because I'm always talking about, I ain't got no emotion. I don't feel that. And that's not true. I do feel the emotions. But watch this. The difference with me between me and others is this, that when I feel the emotions, I acknowledge what I feel, but I quickly move from emotion to logic. Hallelujah. I quickly move from emotion to logic. How do you do that, Dr. Shaw? Let me tell you how I do it. This book, it helped me, y'all. The speed of what it takes to become emotional to logical quickly is called trust. Trust is the speed that will determine how fast you can move from emotions to logic. If you got trust issues, you'll stay stuck in emotions, it won't ever shift to logic. If you have trust issues, you'll stay in your feelings and won't make a logical decision to get out of the bed. If you have trust issues, you will sit there in your emotions and say, I'm good for nothing. I'll never be nothing. My life ain't never been nothing. Instead of moving to logic to say, I gotta trust God, because no matter where I come from, he's about to take me to a better day. I wish y'all could touch your neighbor, but since you can't, point your finger at them and behind that mask and say, hey neighbor, if you submit your emotions to God, you'll start moving into a new dimension. You'll tap into a new realm. But you've got to surrender your emotions and discipline them feelings.
You got to discipline them feelings, because your emotions are showing your behind. Your life is coming loose at the seam of your emotions. Okay, the S, sexuality. The E is emotions. I'm almost through. The A, he says, that's coming loose in your life that you must discipline is your appetite. Your appetite. Help, Lord. Your appetite. Watch me, Jesus. Your appetite. Somebody say appetite. This is what he told me to tell you, and I'm going to just tell you what he told me. If you don't like it, take it up with God. He said this. He said, if you can control your diet, you'll be able to control your demons. He said, the reason why some of you can't cast the devil out of your life is because you don't even know how to tell your own belly no. This kind only comes forth, God, I preach, with prayer and fasting. It is the lack of fasting that has caused the multiplicity of demonic activity in your life. Your appetite is uncontrollable. You are, come on here. You eat when you feel like it, whatever you feel, regardless of doctor's orders, dying of this, dying of that, but won't even discipline your plate. Your plate has become your pain. And your death sentence has been written by your diet. You can't control your demon because you can't control your diet. It is only the time that you can tell your belly no that you can tell the devil get out. How can you think you control the ports of hell and you can't even control the core of who you are? Come on here. I'm hungry. Some of y'all doing this consecration, I wish some veteran Crown Partners was around here. Y'all doing this consecration, hemming and hawing and crying, hollering. This is easy stuff. Y'all wait to the consecration we do at the beginning of the year. This is easy stuff. You can eat anything after five, baby, please. That ain't nothing. That's easy stuff. That's easy, smooth sailing. You got to learn how to control yourself. You got to put yourself under subjection and tell your stomach, I don't care how much you growl, I ain't feeding you, because I'm going to deny my flesh to empower my spirit. I'm going to find three people to holler back at me. I said, I'm going to control this flesh and tell this flesh, you are a slave to me. You're a slave to what I tell you. You shut up because I told you to shut up. You sit down because I told you. Come on. Do y'all know how to talk to your flesh? Lay your right hand on your belly and say, you don't need coffee. You don't need a donut. You don't need to have breakfast in order to make it. You need Jesus. Come on, when you can tell your belly shut up, then you can rebuke the devil, then you can cast out Satan, then you can tell a witch and a warlock, you have no power with me, because I know how to control myself. Can you control your appetite? 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 Can you tell your growling stomach shut up? And I will not feed you until I'm ready. You will not eat until I tell you you're going to eat. Oh, come on, in the old church made children's fast and consecrate. They made the dog and the cat was fasting and consecrate. Ain't nobody eating until it's time to eat. Come on here. Everybody had it, and that's what they did in the Bible. And that's why they got victory. When Joel said, let's fast, the whole congregation fast, including the children. Little Johnny will understand. He said, your life is coming loose at the seam of your appetite.
Saints eat more than they pray. They fill up the diners, but prayer meetings are empty. Because our appetites are indicative of our attitude in the spirit. I rather feed me than feed the diet of God. Eat what you want, how you want, junk food, all kinds of nastiness and craziness and stuff. And don't pay any attention to what you put in your mouth and in your body. And you're dying softly. I wish I could talk like I'm talking. This coronavirus has killed so many in the African-American community because of underlying conditions, most of which are controllable. Y'all mad? I don't care. Because most of this stuff is controllable by the diet. I'm not talking about the stuff that just happened. Come on, that you need medical attention. I'm talking about the stuff that you can control by getting up and go walking in the morning. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Don't park your car so close to the store. Park it over there down the block and walk to the door. Do more walking. Come on. Remember when you used to go on prayer walks? Some of y'all don't like when the musicians start playing shouting music because you can only give God a good 15 seconds of it. You can't even dance for 60 seconds. You can't even praise Him for 90 seconds because you get winded and tired with your fat self. Y'all trying to send folks to hell because of adultery and fornication, homosexuality and lesbianism. But some of y'all goodness fat people are going to hell because you will not discipline your diet. Never been scared. Gluttony is a sin. Y'all looking at me strange. Never been scared of you. I said gluttony is a sin. Hallelujah. And your appetite is undisciplined. I gotta go. I'm through. Last one. Somebody say the seam. Your life is coming loose at the seam of your sexuality, at the seam of your emotions, at the seam of your appetite. Here's the last thing. The M in seam is the seam of your mind. Whew. See, your emotions happen because you feel it, but your mind is indicative of what's reflected in your heart. And you know why folks do what they do? Because the way they think. You live on the level you think. I know you're trying to control the tongue. Even James talks about controlling the tongue, smallest member, but the heart is the tame. But the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so as a man think in his heart, so is he. So the only reason why your tongue says what your tongue says is because that stuff really is in your heart. You're going to have to learn to control your mind, which is your heart. When God saves you, He saved your mind. He entered into your heart. That's where Jesus lives. He lives in your heart, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. Your mind needs to be delivered. I said your mind needs to be delivered. I said your mind is undisciplined. How many times do you have sat there and all of a sudden your mind started wandering and drifting? While I'm preaching today, some of y'all, your mind just went flying like a little bluebird off in somewhere in La La Land. You can't, come on, you looked and adapted the theology of this new generation. Talk about you can't pay attention and you can't sit there and watch and listen and understand and comprehend. The devil and his bald-headed mama is a liar. If I could sit down and binge crown on Netflix, certainly I can sit and listen to an hour and 20 minute sermon. Certainly y'all looking at me strange. Don't lie to yourself. If you can sit there and binge watch Power on Netflix, if you can sit there and binge watch all that you have watched the whole pandemic, then certainly you can listen to an hour message. We want to shut down church, but Netflix and chill, because your mind ain't right. Your mind needs to be delivered. Your mind needs to be free. I'm not scared of you. Your mind needs to be free in Jesus. It needs to become more disciplined. It needs to become more disciplined. Lay hands on your head and say, I gotta discipline my mind. I gotta, the only reason why I had sex, because my mind ain't right. Hallelujah. I said, the only reason why you slept with who you slept with, because if you go back and look at his Facebook page and look at them photos, you would have never slept with somebody looking like that in your right mind. Your mind wasn't right. Look how you looked at her. You slept with that girl, she got a half a leg, half a hair, and a half a fingernail. But you slept with it anyway because your mind ain't right. When your mind ain't right, your sexuality won't be right. If your mind ain't right, your emotions will go awry. If your mind ain't right, your appetite will go crazy. It's all about getting your mind right. Holler at your neighbor behind your mask. Put it in the comments on the thread and say, get your mind right. That's why I gave y'all scriptures to meditate on, because the word meditate means think on this, dwell on this. If you put your face in the word of God and get your face out of Facebook and off of Instagram, then your mind can get right. Our minds have been defiled. Our minds have been perverted by the music we listen to, by the movies we watch. Come on, y'all. Let's tell the truth. You can't be here on consecration still listening to R. Kelly bumping and chilling. You can't still be listening to Beyonce and feel comfortable. I need the kind of Holy Ghost that even when I listen to my jazz, but I'm supposed to be centered into God, he starts convicting me and say, that ain't what I want you to listen to. That ain't what I want to deposit in your spirit. But there ain't nothing wrong with jazz. Y'all trying to argue with God with theology instead of having power with God in neology. The only way you get power with God is in the place of discipline. Stop arguing new theology. Stop arguing this new age school stuff. And start going back to what you know works. And get your mind right. Put your hands on your head and say, I gotta get my mind right. And that's what Paul wrote to the Philippian church. He said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these. Which means if it ain't godly, I gotta get it out of my mind. Lay hands on your head one more time and say, I need to get my mind right. I want to be saved and I want to be delivered. I want to be set free, but I gotta get my mind right. I knew this church wouldn't like this old-fashioned preacher, but I want to cry out and spend not. He told me, Pastor Moore, to lift up my voice like a trumpet in Zion, show the house of God their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. But I believe what the Bible says when he said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Grab your neighbor if you can touch him and say, neighbor, come out, come out from wherever you are. It's time to get delivered, because I see the seam of your life unraveling, unfolding. Your privates about to be exposed. Your privates about to be put out there. But if you sew up the seam, look at your neighbor and behind your mask, say, neighbor, I'm going to sew it up today and submit to God. Come here, James. It says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he shall flee. Y'all don't like holiness preaching, but I believe that holiness is still right and everybody is a liar. The Bible still declares that nobody shall ascend to the hill of the Lord until you got clean hands and a pure heart. Throw up your hands and say, Lord, clean my heart. I want to be clean. I want to be right, because the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sins bring a reproach to any people. I don't know about y'all, but I want to be right before my God. I'm tired of perpetrating the fraud. I'm tired of playing games with my soul. For the Bible says, work out your soul, salvation with fear and trembling. God, they don't like this, but I'm here to tell somebody, you gotta be holy, you gotta be righteous, you got to be holy, you got to be righteous, and not just on Sunday morning, but on Monday. You got to be holy and righteous. On Tuesday, you got to be holy and righteous. On Wednesday, you got to be holy and righteous. On Thursday, holy and righteous. Friday, holy and righteous. Saturday, put the weed down. Saturday, put the bottle down. Saturday, get off the DM. Saturday, shut down and go in the prayer and be holy and be righteous. Everybody, everybody, shout it out. Shout it out. I said, rain of those, our mornings won't be long. We're going to look for me. I'll be gone. Where you going, Shaw? I'm going up to glory where I sing and shout. Nobody there will put me out. Anybody want to be holy to go to heaven? I'm trying to make heaven. My home, you want to call? Go out. I want a wife. I want to be holy. Want to be holy? Say yes. Say yes. And say, I got to fight this flesh. Put this flesh under subjection. Tell your flesh, I war against you. I war against your sexuality. Get your emotions of the wrong mind. You're not the world. You've been called up. Fight your flesh. The word I put it under subjection means I make my flesh my slave. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a slave to the will of God. Lay hands on yourself again and say, you gotta obey. You're not fighting people, you're fighting your flesh. God told you to leave that man a long time ago. Your flesh say, I want him. God told you to stop eating that long time ago. Your flesh wants it. He said, and the exposure you're experiencing is because your life has unraveled at the seam. Your seam is undisciplined. And it's splitting your pants. The wind you're feeling is not God. The wind you're feeling is exposure. And you want people to clap their hands and celebrate you and cheer you on? No, get right. Live right. Get your flesh under order. We can't be around here singing, praying, reading scriptures, and doing all we do for God, and we ourselves are castaways
That's what Paul's fear was. He said, I don't want to do all of this and I miss God. I miss heaven because I never did what I told all y'all to do. We're undisciplined. You're a gossiper because your mind is undisciplined. Your mouth is undisciplined. Your appetites are undisciplined. What God is going to teach us, Crown, is discipline. And then we'll see the rewards of righteousness. Can you clap your hands for living holy and living righteous? Can you praise God today because he showed you your life coming loose at the scene? Come on here. Come on. I need somebody to praise God because he's showing us our loose threads. He's showing us where we've been missing the mark and we have left the door gates open for the adversary. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray now for everyone under the sound of my voice. I gave them what you told me to give them. Ultimately, that we must submit ourselves to you so we could have victory. I pray, God, that online and here in this church, the message transforms someone and make them think again so that we are living righteous and holy before you. Oh, God, I praise you that victory is ours because we submit and surrender unto you with gladness. Have your way. Move by your spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Clap those hands again, everybody, and bless him. We're going. There may be somebody online quickly. You're not saved in this room. You're not saved. But you want to give your life to the Lord. If you're online, I want you to do this. I want you to just raise your hand. Put a raise a hand emoji saying, I want to be saved. If you're in this room, you want to be saved. Stand right where you are to say, I want to give my life. Or I even want to rededicate my life all over again. One thing about this revival, I want us to get saved all over. I said, I want us to fall in love with Jesus again. I want us to do our first works over again. I want us to get saved all over again because revival starts back at the beginning. It is a day of awakening. If you want to be saved today, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Change me, save me, and deliver me. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And now I do not belong to myself. I belong to you, Lord. I am yours. I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. Clap your hands for salvation. If you said that prayer and meant it, you now belong to the body of believers. Listen, those of you that's online, I want you to text the word saved, S-A-V-E-D. Text the word saved to 40691. Text the word saved to 40691. We want to contact you, communicate with you, and pray for you that we could walk you through this step and this journey called salvation.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, I would love for you to do two things. One, subscribe to our show so you can receive notification of our most recent messages. Also, if this message has impacted you, you can click the link in the description and you can give now. We'll connect with you next time on Crown Ministries Podcast.